Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil, powered by Coe's BMW. Here's former Denver Bronco Nick Ferguson and 104.3TheFan.com Cecil Lamb.
That's right, it's Nick and Cecil here on a Thursday night, always having a good time. And going out to our hotline, our Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, to talk to sport professor at CU, Henry Siegel. Of course, Emmy Award-winning sports broadcaster as well. Henry, Nick and Cecil, good evening and welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, listen to your show. I'm getting hungry for spaghetti and meatballs.
That's true. We do get a lot of spaghetti and meatballs talk on this program, thanks to Coach Fancho.
I'm more of a eggplant parmesan guy, but that's okay.
Yeah, either one will work for me. Of course, if you've ever seen me, I probably don't say no to a lot of food. But I digress. My diet aside, let's talk about sports broadcasting in today's world. And just as a person who guides young minds who want to get into sports and sports media specifically, as that sports professor at CU, what's the biggest piece of advice you could, because we always get the questions all the time. How do I do what you do? Well, you're Emmy Award-winning sports broadcaster. So when those young folks ask you, how do you do what you did? What's your answer?
Well, you know, it's a good question. When I started out, now you have communication courses, you have broadcasting courses, you have sports broadcasting courses. When I went to school, they had nothing like that. Maybe you could major in journalism if your school had that major, which mine didn't. So it was sort of ad hoc. You just had to go out on your own and figure it out, which in some ways is the best way. And I've throughout my career, I found the people that made it, the people that were most successful, one had a single-minded determination to do it. And that involves hard work and dedication, perseverance. That's really what it mostly takes. I've come across people that are smart, are knowledgeable for the sports media. They're nice looking. They have great pipes, but they aren't the ones that necessarily make it because they just don't want it bad enough. And right. That's really what it comes down to. It's very competitive, and you just have to outwork the other guy. You know, Nick, it's like, being on the field. Sometimes you just got to outwork the other guy.
Yeah, and that is a major part of it because, I mean, I came into the league as an undrafted guy, and it was a dogfight every single year to stay in the league and maintain a starting position. And what has also turned into a dogfight and has become the topic of conversation is not just diversity and NFL front offices, but diversity in broadcasting. And we don't see a lot of women receiving the opportunities that I think that they deserve. But from a person who's been in the industry for a while, where do you see it actually leading as far as women in journalism?
Well, that's a great question because when I started out actually years ago with, I'll tell you how long ago it was. I was with CBS News in New York, and Walter Cronkite was still the anchor. But there was a woman there. I was just a young guy, hardworking, wanted to get ahead. And there was a woman there, Kay White. She was the first female vice president of a broadcast network, kind of a Jackie Robinson of her time because she wasn't a shouter. She wasn't a screamer. She, didn't raise her fists. But like Robinson, she had to be poised and composed and had to, turn aside to the slurs and the snickers and the slights. And she subsequently went on to CBS Sports, became the first female vice president of a network sports entity. And that's how I got into CBS Sports. She liked me. She knew I worked hard, and she gave me an opportunity. So I always respected her for who she was and what she did, and always had an interest throughout my career in being aware and trying to advance opportunities for women in sports, which is, over the course of my career, one of the things that I'm actually most proud of for doing that. And also looking out for the fact that, sometimes women weren't always treated in a way that was appropriate. But over the years, the opportunities have dramatically risen for women in sports. You see them on network, on pregame shows, hosts of shows, halftimes, postgames, sideline, now doing games. There's one place, though, Nick, that where you don't see women. And, you know, Denver has, what, 3, 4, 5 radio sports radio talk stations? And I don't think there's a one woman on the air at all. So what's that about?
Yeah, that's certainly something to look at and to examine in the sports radio world of things. We are joined on our hotline by Henry Siegel, sports professor at CU. And I'd like to know, Henry, how social networking and kind of, you know, blogs and people being able to do podcasts, kind of, you know, everyone having a microphone, so to speak, how has that changed the sports media landscape in your eyes?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, Cease. It's, on one hand, you have greater opportunities to, you know, be heard and make a voice or whatever it is, whatever platform you're trying to use. On the other hand, there's a lot of people that don't have the knowledge, don't have the experience, and one of the things I impart to my class, to my students, is you have to maintain the foundations of good journalism. You have to be accurate. You have to be honest. You have to be truthful. You have to do, you have to validate your information. And if you do that, you'll create and display credibility. And your voice will be heard above all the other, you know, chattering that goes on. So that's one of the things. Again, like I said, one hand, everybody can do it. On the other hand, you gotta be able to have a distinctive voice.
Well, you brought up something that's real important, because in the world of media, where the social media on the radio or television, everyone is trying to get that story first. They're trying to be the first one to put it out. I mean, you talked about mentioning something like this to your student, but how important is it, to make sure that you have the story correctly before running with it, being the first individuals out there?
Well, you know what? It's, you hit the nail on the head there, Nick. It's difficult, and it's very stressful for people in the media. It was always, never wanted to get beat on a story back in the day, as they say. But if you were a newspaper writer, you had, you know, almost 24 hours to recover. If it was local news or a sports center show like that, you still had time to recover. Now you don't. So very often it's ready, shoot, aim. So you just have to, be able to juggle a lot of balls and develop the ability to be first and accurate. It's hard. It's tough. And then again, like I said before, that's what's going to separate you from everybody else that's just shooting their mouth off.
Mm. Fascinating conversation tonight with Henry Siegel, sports professor at CU. And Henry, we certainly appreciate your time. My final question for you has to do with kind of the access game. That's what I call it. When you have an access game with teams out there, because we know that there's plenty of team-friendly media, almost propaganda outlets for some of these sports teams. And in Denver, we're pretty much a puppy dog media. It's not New York, nothing like that. This market is pretty tame in terms of taking it easy on teams. So how do you advise your students to, one, play the access game, because we all have to, but two, bring that credibility that you speak of, because you don't just want to be known as a shill for a team who does nothing but carry the water for the team?
Got another great question, Cease, and it's something that we talk about constantly. And every week I bring in a guest speaker from, along the sports spectrum. And there's common threads or themes you always hear from them. And one of them is developing relationships. And that is the key to being able to do what you're addressing there. You develop relationships, and the relationships are built on, like anything else in life, it's built on mutual respect. So if you can build a good relationship with someone, it's give and take. Sometimes it's more give, sometimes more take, depending on the situation. But if there's a mutual respect between the player or the coach and the media member, then at those times when you have to be honest, and sometimes it's difficult, especially when a team isn't doing well or you're being critical,
right,
then they will accept it and they will be able to respect you.
All right, Henry. So March 2nd is when spring training opens up for Major League Baseball, and it'll be the first time we've seen the Rockies since last season. And I know there's been a lot of speculation with the team as far as maybe Ramon Marquez or other players maybe being traded. But if you are Jeff Bridich or Bud Black, what kind of moves are you making to make this team more competitive, knowing that the Padres have gotten better and the Dodgers are still in the division?
Well, if I was Jeff Bridich, the first thing I would do is resign.
Okay, why?
And name my successor. You know, if you look at any sport, and you guys know this, and listen to what you're talking about before, it seems today more than ever that the GM and coach, manager, whatever, have to be in sync. That is, I think, the key dynamic in any organization. And if you look at the ones that are dysfunctional, you'll see that they are out of sync. And you certainly have that. You have a dysfunctional GM and management with the Rockies. I think to a great extent, not to change the subject, but the same thing going on with the Broncos. Case in point, looking at the playoffs this weekend, look at the Buffalo Bills. They survived the disaster that was Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley. Inside of 3 years, you got these two guys, you know, really in rhythm and in sync, and look what they've done. So as far as the Rockies, yeah, I think that you got a problem with the manager, the owner. He needs a baseball guy in charge. You need a GM that knows what they're doing. And then you got to take it from there. They don't seem to have any plan. They just seem to always be just skipping stones.
Oh, skipping stones. That is something that Henry Singel never does. But listen, I love your enthusiasm for the sport. I love your take on sports journalism. I know the kids that take your class, they're going to learn a lot, as though we've learned this evening. And I'm very hopeful that we see a lot of change with maybe more females on radio than we have right now. But I want to thank you for giving us a moment of your time. And understand this, you or any of your students are always welcome on the Nick and Cecil Show.
Well, I'm going to tell all the women in the class to start calling in. So there you go.
All right, there it is.
There we have it. Henry, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, I'm going to go have some. I think I have some sausage now. Sausage and pasta.
See, now he's making me hungry on our Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Henry Singel, sports professor at CU, Emmy award-winning sports broadcaster. And just the knowledge, Nick, just the knowledge and what you're able to take in from someone with such experience and wisdom, it's a very fascinating conversation.
Yeah, it is. And it's the fact that he said that he tells the students two things. You know, being first is not always important. It's being right, right? And also to know that you have to build relationships within this business to be successful, to have opportunity. So I love the fact that he shared that with us, with our listeners, and he continues to promote that with his students at CU.
Well, speaking of sharing stuff, something I got to break down with you, because I believe, from what I'm hearing, is that George Payton may be getting his right-hand man. Yeah, we'll talk about who it might be and what that means for the Broncos next.